Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
It's great to have you with us on this long weekend. Tomorrow, on the 11th day, the 11th month, at the 11th hour, Canadians will pause to commemorate the brave men and women of our armed forces. We'll take some time to remember those who fought for our nation, those who continue to do so, especially those who have paid the ultimate price and have given their lives. And so every year we recognize the freedoms that we enjoy today have come with a great price. And the poppies that we wear close to our hearts really indicate our respect and our honor for our Canadian troops. So I encourage you tomorrow to get out, be a part of one of the many get-togethers in the community where they are laying wreaths and pray for our troops. Pray for our first responders. Pray for those that put their lives on the line every day so that you and I and our communities and our nation can be safe. And so we're grateful for their lives and what they do. God keep our land glorious and free is more than just a line in our national anthem. It's actually something that people take to heart and are willing to step out and do something about. And so let's be a part of that together. We're in a new message series called Mastermind, talking about mastering our thinking so the master can change our lives. And to effectively do that, we need the master's mind. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," or the master's mind. Each and every day as a Christ follower, we have a decision to make. We have a decision to resist the negative thoughts that flood into our brain sometimes and assist the Word of God as it finds a place in our hearts and minds. Our thinking, our thoughts dictate so much of our behavior. It's incredible. As we were driving to church this morning and it was a little foggy and not as sunny as it's been over the last couple of weeks, how that affects our mind, right? People feel more optimistic when we're getting all that vitamin D and that sun is beaming down. And when it's not, and when it's raining, people take a radical shift. They get a little grumpier. And there's people that at this time of the year will say, you know, every time at this time of the month, I feel like I'm going into the dark side of the moon. You know, I don't feel great. And so we speak those things, we confess those thoughts, and it actually becomes a stronghold in our lives. And so in order to allow the master's mind to be at work within us and to bring about that change in our life that we could never accomplish on our own, we need to fill our minds with God's word. And the moves that we make in our lives to position ourselves properly will determine whether we win or lose at the game of life, to break the mind game cycle that sometimes we fall into. Last week after the 12 o'clock service, someone had come up to me and said, "I love the message today, love this new series." They said, "I'll be honest with you, when I woke up this morning, I was not excited to come. Matter of fact, I opened my eyes and I wasn't sick physically, but I was just feeling off." How many can identify with that, right? You have those days and you don't want to be around anybody. Just everybody back off. You don't want to deal with anything. And so they said to me, they said, "I'm just being honest, but I didn't want to get ready for church." So I went back to bed. And so I kind of laid there and got some extra rest. But then I felt like maybe I should jump online to the online campus at 10:30 and watch the service. And so they said that's what I did. And so watched the worship, and it was encouraging them. And then they listened to the message last week on transforming our conforming. And they said, "Suddenly I realized that I was engaged in that battle you were talking about and that I was not winning." And so in that moment, they kind of took a stand. They decided to feed their spirit instead of their flesh, to fight the good fight of faith. And so they got ready and jumped in the car and came to the 12 o'clock service. And so, woohoo, victory, right? You celebrate the little victories along the way that give us traction for some of the bigger battles that we face in our lives. That process, we need to find moments to celebrate. And speaking of wins, a couple of weeks ago here at the church, during our 12 o'clock service, we had about 70 people in our new to Calvary guest lunch that we had, where new families were making connections, looking for opportunities to serve on some of our teams, our Team Calvary teams, looking for connection opportunities in our small groups. And so to all of you that came, welcome home. We're so glad that you're a part of our church family, whether you're here new in the last week, the last month, or the last year. We want you to feel at home. And for those of you that haven't been to one of our free guest lunches yet, we invite you to come. And so stop by the Welcome Center, sign up, find out when the next one is, and we would love to have you to be a part of that. It's always great to see our table getting longer, and there's always room to grow. We're never at a point where we feel there's not a place for someone new at our table. Okay, let's jump into the Word of God today. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're not going to get into it just yet, but I want you to just keep your finger there. And we're going to look at the words of the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was someone who understood what the battle of the mind was all about. And he identified it in some of his early writings. A man who, like us, knew all about making decisions that sometimes made no sense, that were completely irrational. Can anybody identify with irrational decisions? And yeah, right? We all have been there. And so each and every one of us have moments in our lives where we are determined to make a better decision, and then we don't. And so I think some of you would understand that last month was one of those times where the little kids are coming to the door, ringing the doorbell, looking for their trick or treat, and so we're loading them up. But when the doorbell stops, you're left with a bowl of candy in your house, and you're all by yourself, and so you make some decisions that maybe you didn't want to. Maybe a couple days before you said, you know what? I'm going to start to eat better. And you do. You do it. You do it well. And it lasts for a couple of days until you hit a wall or somebody brings something to the office that you like, or you're faced with this, right? And you're like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Somebody's got to eat it, right? Here, Henry, that one's for you there, brother. And then over here somewhere. I better watch that. Here, Bishop, are you? Go long, Bishop. I don't want to hit any babies out there. But sometimes these represent in our lives what are a temptation that we don't seem to overcome properly. And that's kind of the lower end of the scale when it comes to some of the things and decisions that we're faced with. But the Apostle Paul understood. The Apostle Paul probably would have polished off the whole bowl and then ordered a pizza to kind of wash it all down with. And so he was the kind of guy that knew what we're talking about, because in the Word of God, in the Scripture, he says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing those things. Now, I don't know about you, but I can identify with the Apostle Paul. I'm glad that the Bible includes people that are not perfect, because I can find myself in them. And each and every one of us are faced with decisions on multiple levels each day that really can make or break us. And Paul did learn over time to master his thinking. It wasn't an easy process. But I want to read from a portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians today where he talks about that battle, talks about the weapons that we use in that battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6 says this: the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, or another translation says to pull down or to dismantle strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension, or the warped philosophies and corrupt culture that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I mean, no, that's not an overnight thing. That's something you do every single day. You gotta celebrate the victories when you get up and you don't want to come to church and you go back to bed. And then you battle through and you get your clothes on and you get in the car and you go anyways. And you go, okay, I took that thought and made it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. Today, in episode 2 of our series, I want to talk to you about the strongholds of the mind in a message that I'm calling Mind control. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you today for the mind of Christ, the mind of the Master that allows us to master our thinking and transform our lives. We pray today that in each one of our lives, that power would be made true and real within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I remember back in high school, from time to time, we would have an assembly. Remember those assemblies? And it could be as simple as a kind of a public service announcement that they needed to talk to the student body about, or it could have been fun. And the fun assemblies were rare and few and far between. But on one particular day, I remember going into the auditorium and it looked different. The lighting was different on the stage, the music was playing and it was different. And then they said, today we have a special treat for you. We have a man who's here to speak to you all called Ravine, the impossibilist. And he was a mentalist. This is the dude right here. Like, I don't know, that frightens me today. But he had hair that didn't move. It was like a helmet on his head. And this was his signature. He did this with his hand all the time, right? That was his signature pose. Now, the amazing Ravine claimed to be able to control your mind. That's the look he has right now as he looks at you. I'm going to control your mind. Well, he was just an illusionist. And it was smoke and mirrors. But he would get students to come up, sit in a line on the stage. And then he would pretend to hypnotize them, and then he would tell them to do things. You know, bark like a dog. And one guy would get up, rah, 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 run around, bark like a dog. And then another person would say, okay, you got to get up, you know, big football player. Get up and stand there and fall asleep. And the guy, you go to sleep. They said, now wake up, and when you wake up, you're going to be completely naked. And the guy would, oh, and he'd think he was naked, right? As he's covering himself up, and he's walking around embarrassed. And so one by one, the amazing Ravine would take control of people's minds, or at least so it seemed, and he would do these tricks for the entertainment of everybody who was there. Now, fast forward years later, I'm married, I've got two small boys, we're in Niagara Falls, and over March break, and we're in a large hotel that has all kinds of things planned for families with small children. And so one of them was a show that was a lot like this. And so it brought me back to the hairdo and the hand, right? And so a new guy gets up and he's going to do an illusion show. And usually the thing he starts with is, I'm going to need some brave volunteers. Are there any brave volunteers out there? Now, usually at that point is when I get a call or I have to step outside to avoid that scenario completely. But he said, I'm going to need some dads today. So now my pride is on the line, right? And so he gets some of the dads to come up. You, sir, you need to come up here and lead the dads. And I'm like, okay, right? So I get up and I start walking down the aisle and everybody's clapping. And while everybody is clapping, he is whispering in my ear exactly what's about to take place. That nobody else in the room knew what he was saying. They just thought they were clapping for the brave dad who was going to the stage. But he was really whispering in my ear, all right, I'm going to get you to sit down. When I do, I'm going to tap you on the back, and then I want you to pretend like you got electrocuted. And so he's just whispering this fast and on the way to my seat. And so I sit down. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. So I sit down, and then he says, I'm going to hypnotize these dads and make them feel an electrical current is running through them. And when I put my hand over their head, they can't see me. They're going to feel that electricity. And what he would do by way of distraction is he'd, you know, do his dramatic kind of hand gesture. And while he did, the other hand would be just grazing the back of the dads who were sitting there. So we'd know he was behind us. And so hand would go over my head, touch my back real quick, and I'd go, whoa! And all the kids would go, oh! They thought he had taken control of me, right? Many people today treat God like he is Ravine the impossibilist. That if we spend enough time listening to his voice, that he will take control of our thinking. That he will control and manipulate our actions. That our part and our role to play is smaller than it really is. But we know that nothing could be further from the truth. The scripture tells us that you and I have been created with a free will to choose life or to choose death. You can choose positive thoughts. You can choose negative thoughts. You can choose to allow the Word of God to change you, or you can resist it. You can just go with the flow. And so the truth is that each one of us have a mind that's been, created by God. It's wonderfully complex. And it's been created with cognitive faculties that enable consciousness, perception, thinking, judgment, memories. I can remember this weird dude, back in my high school days. Even today, as I talk about it, I can recall that. You see, our mind is where our attitudes, our desires, and our beliefs are formed. And there are many people in society today that may have the brain of a genius, but they have terrible minds. The things they think about, the things that control them, the strongholds that they struggle with. And one of the greatest revelations that I had in my younger days walking with Christ was that I could actually choose my thoughts and think things on purpose. I wasn't subject to every little thing like a balloon that if it blew into my thinking, that I had to give it my time. So we don't have to do that. We don't have to be subject to whatever pops into our mind and be controlled by it. You see, despite man's best efforts to control their minds or to control other people's minds, it always ends with failure. You can't control what's beyond your control. That's where we need the master's power. In order to change our life, we got to first change and overcome the strongholds of the mind, because behind everything that you do is a thought, a singular thought. Every behavior is motivated by a belief, and every action is prompted by an attitude. And God revealed this truth thousands of years before psychologists even understood it. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts." Like a potter on a wheel with a chunk of clay, right? It's shaped by your thoughts. So you can't control, again, what's beyond your control, but God has given us a way to overcome these strongholds that we've established in our lives over time. Now, we don't have to be bound by our emotions and subject to our thoughts. We actually, with God's power, have the power to control those things. But in and of ourselves, we're powerless. We can't control anything, no more than ravine can make me bark like a dog. It's just a show. It's just smoke and mirrors. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." That's the promise that we can stand on, the freedom that God wants to give you in your mind and in your life. And that's the promise that we need to hold on to, the promise that we can stand in. Now, let me define a stronghold, because I think we need to understand what a stronghold is. A stronghold of the mind is actually a lie that gets established in your thinking and your actions. And then it creates a pattern, creates a lifestyle. And the sources in your life that affect those strongholds, that give strength to them or momentum to them, are three simple things. The first one is ourselves. We talked about this last week. Whatever we personally believe about ourselves, we eventually become. Scripture tells us that. Thoughts become actions. Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." Another area that affects those strongholds in our lives are other people. It's our life experiences, the environment that we live in or grew up in. Could be the way that we were raised by our parents. Their thinking, their beliefs were communicated to us in the way that those households were kind of governed. Our education, the place we lived, the neighborhoods that we grew up in, the friends that we have. I know a lot of the guys that I grew up with didn't always affect me for the best, and as a matter of fact, gave me options to go far down another road and to establish strongholds within me that sometimes can take years to break. So other people play an important role. And the third area that affects those strongholds that give strength to them are actually evil forces. The power of the enemy whispers in our ear and reaffirms the things that we've been told. Maybe in school you were bullied or somebody made fun of you, but they did it so much that it almost gaslighted you into a place where you believed the reality that they sent your way, even though it wasn't true at all. And yet, the enemy has a way of whispering in your ear and reinforcing those lies so that we nurse it, we rehearse it over and over and over again, and suddenly it becomes our reality. Now, in order to overcome strongholds in our mind, we need to move past the place of guilt and shame that sometimes comes with poor decisions that we've made over our lives. Because what God's heart is for you is restoration. It's transformation. But if you get stuck in a place, it's hard to get past it without his power. Because our minds keep going back to it, and you keep getting reminded of these things. But Jesus came to make us whole again. He came to make a way where there was no way. And that forgiveness allows us to move past those strongholds, to see them broken in our lives. And we may come to him messed up, but when we get to know him, we will never stay that way. So how can we prayerfully overcome these strongholds? And honestly, some of the things that I'm about to give you, some are easier to hear than others. Some might sting a little bit. Some might feel like, okay, you're getting a little too close to some truth in my life. But this is the scripture. This is God. He loves you too much to leave you where you're at today. So how do we overcome these strongholds? The first thing that we need to do is to understand who you are. Understand God's love and who you are in him. It's because of God's deep love for you that he always brings you to a place of dealing with those strongholds in your life, to move past the lies that have been established in your thinking into a place of abundant life. No one is perfect, but whatever God does in you is motivated by his love for you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We're all in the same boat together. Nobody is perfect. We all have found ourselves in that place. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. So when you pray, when you get before God, acknowledge the love of God. Acknowledge that he loves you and that he's made you as his child, even when he's correcting you. It's hard sometimes for kids to see mom and dad's love for them when they're kind of dealing with them and correcting them in areas that need correction. God loves us so much that he's not going to leave you the way you are. He wants to look at some of those areas that you struggle with and help you to get beyond them. He loves you that much. So even in the midst of correction, God's love for you is so abundantly clear. Second thing we need to do to overcome the strongholds is to identify and accept. Identify the stronghold, accept responsibility for it, and repent. The first step in any kind of recovery, they'll say, is the acknowledgement of a problem and a desire to change it. And so we have to get beyond that shame and step into restoration, choose to not rely on our own strength. We choose our actions. That's the truth. We can't blame that on other people, on situations. Whatever we choose to do or however we act, we have to own it. Psalm 69:5 says, "God, my life is an open book to you. You know every sin I've ever done, for nothing within me is hidden from your sight." Doesn't matter how far you go, how hard you try to get away, you can't hide those things from the Lord. So we need to ask God to forgive us for believing the lies sometimes that we've heard and we keep rehearsing in our minds. We need to own our behavior, accept responsibility for it, and then accept his forgiveness. Psalm 19:12 says, "But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults." Number three, connected to number two, is we need to forgive and accept forgiveness. So as we accept forgiveness from God, God gives us the grace to forgive others, the people who have contributed and reinforced some of those strongholds in our lives. Let them go. See, unforgiveness will always hold you back from overcoming the strongholds of your life. And this is always a choice. This is not a feeling. You're not going to wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to forgive that person who hurt me so badly. No. It'll never happen if you allow your feelings to dictate how you act. You need to make a decision, and then God will give you strength to see it through. Matthew 6, 14 to 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then when you pray, forgive anyone who's ever wounded you. Forgive yourself. And then if you have anger towards God, because some of us are angry with God because of something that's taken place in our life that we feel he should have prevented. But you need to let that go and trust his process. Even as we sung about it today, that even when we can't see it or feel it, God is still at work within us. Number four, fourth thing that we need to do to overcome those strongholds prayerfully is to depend on God's Spirit. We cannot defeat the enemy with our own power. Remember what I said? We can't control what's beyond our control. The enemy will keep coming back, keep trying to reestablish those old strongholds again. He is brutally relentless. But you know what? The love of God, the love of the Spirit of God is relentless too. God never stops loving you. And his Spirit is always pursuing you. And so I am thankful for that truth, because even when I was off on a tangent, off in my own area, God was relentless in his pursuit of me. Luke 10:19 says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Not only does he love you and is relentless to seek you out, but he's given you authority over the thoughts that sometimes seek to rule your life. But it's one thing to be given that authority. It's another thing to exercise it. We need to take authority over those things in Jesus' name and believe that they will be broken in our lives. John 17:15, Jesus prayed to his Father. And sometimes this is the prayer that we pray. Just get me out of this mess. Just deliver me from this. But Jesus is saying to the Father, I'm not even asking you to remove them from the world, but I am asking that you guard their hearts from evil. Jesus knew that the solution is not to be just taken out of the moment. We are still in the world that is filled with evil, but in the midst of it, God can guard our hearts. He can protect you. He can see you through, even when you're exposed to things that you shouldn't. God will protect you from evil. Psalm 9:9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. Listen to this, a stronghold in times of trouble. So as we rely on God's Spirit at work in our lives, we're delivered from strongholds, those strongholds of our minds. But where are we delivered to? We're delivered into this stronghold who is the Lord. He is that fortress. You see, a fortress can be something to keep you imprisoned or give you strength. And so when we are in a place where there's a stronghold in our mind, it's a strong fortress of thinking, of lies that needs to be broken. But when it is, we're delivered into the stronghold who is the Lord, who will keep us and protect us. So when you pray, ask God to help you to recognize and break through those patterns that have created that stronghold. Then take authority over those things, over those wrong patterns that are influencing you. And then finally, number five, we need to replace our thoughts. It's not enough to just deal with them and send them on their way. We need to reprogram our thinking. So we need to replace our thoughts. Negative thoughts cannot create positive actions. It just doesn't work that way. Truth dispels lies, and light dispels darkness. So we must use God's word. It's the source of power that you will need to master your mind and transform your life. This is does you no good on your nightstand or on the mantle or on your bookshelf. This you need to devour on a daily basis and allow it to abide within you. It's the weapon that we need, the weapon that we need on the battlefield. Find scriptures that are the opposite to the lies that you've believed all your life, that you weren't sufficient, that you weren't strong enough, that you weren't smart enough. We tell ourselves so many things, and after a while, we just start to believe that it's our lot in life, that it's who we are, when in fact, that's not who he's created you to be. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So when we replace our thoughts, when we're praying, ask God to show you what he says about you in his word. And then pray those scriptures, take them like a medicine until it changes your thought patterns. You see, to gain control of our minds, we actually have to give it up. We have to surrender that control to him. He is the stronghold who overcomes strongholds in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the mind of Christ to help us transform our lives and master our thinking. Father, we pray that as you identify those strongholds in our lives and also show us the behavior that got us to that place, that we would repent of the things we've done. We would receive your love and forgiveness so that we can experience a fresh new start. Lord, today we submit ourselves to you. We pray that you would help us to overcome the strongholds of our mind and be delivered into your hands, our ultimate stronghold. And I pray that in each person's life, Lord, that they would sense an understanding of your word, that they would walk it out in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, after the last service, I met somebody in the hall and they said, oh, I'm so loving this series. And, you know, is there any way that I can hear this message again? The answer to that is definitely yes. If you go to our website at calvary.ca, click on messages, you'll be able to hear our podcast recording, usually posted by Tuesday after the message. And also the message notes are there as well. And so if you're wondering what all these scriptures are, because I gave you a lot today, the notes are there on the website. Use them to go and do further study. And many use them in small groups. We have one version that has blanks and one that's filled in. And so you can use it for group discussions and kind of go deeper. Now, today is an awesome day. Today is a day that we as a church are so excited about, and that's Baptism Sunday. So I want you to rejoice and to celebrate as we experience these together and just give the loudest cheer you can when they come up out of the water as we celebrate what God's doing.